God bless you. You may be seated. And good morning. It's a delight to be here in St. Andrews and to see folks now that I've met a few months ago and to see you again and to share with you blessings of the Lord. I was just thinking about the gospel reading this morning and sitting in the chair in a hotel room, just thinking through what is profitable to talk, about this gospel reading. And, the sermon really is a reflection on the passages that we have read and an attempt to summarize that and to make it applicable to our lives in the present. And doing that sometimes, we can get far afield of the scripture and people wonder what the connection is if we're not careful. As I began to meditate on this passage, I thought of two things that are very clearly implied in the parable of the talents. First, God gives us gifts. He gives everybody gifts. In this parable, he's given some more than others, clearly, but he's given everybody gifts. There is no one without gifts. And the second thing is that God expects us to develop and use these gifts. I wonder if you can think about a time when you wanted to give someone a gift and they just wouldn't take it. Oh, maybe they took it, but I don't know. You think about, dad or mom or some uncle or aunt, you give them a gift and you find out actually they put it away somewhere and there's reasons for it. Maybe they didn't like the gift or they didn't find it useful to them. The socks that you thought were such practical gifts they didn't really like or whatever. And then there's other people that know the gift is so precious that they put it away. They didn't want to use it because they wanted to keep it. And they kept it year after year after year. And then finally it was never really used, which is what happens with this one servant that takes the gifts and he buries the gifts, not because he doesn't value the gift, but because he values it so much he thinks it's not to be used. In a real sense, he has too much appreciation for the gift. He fears soiling the gift, spoiling the gift, fears the wrath of his master if somehow he misuses this gift. Some years ago, I was reading in the epistle of James, and I was struck by, in the Greek passage here, where James says that faith together with works, that whole awkward phrase is a single word in the Greek, synerge. And I went and I looked into the Latin Vulgate, and the word was cooperator. I don't have to translate either of those two words. The word synergy and the word cooperate are very clear in the English language, and they mean precisely what they mean in these two ancient languages. That there is an expectation that we cooperate with, that there's a synergistic interaction with what God gives us to be used, and that is the message of this parable. Many years ago, I had a huge lawn, and someone in the church had mercy on me and bought me a self-propelled lawnmower. It wasn't one that I sit on and ride. That would be too slothful, for a minister to sit and actually, you have to do something. But it was a self-propelled lawnmower. But the thing was that it really didn't go by itself. But as soon as I would push it, just a little, the thing would take off, and it had a handle that I had to keep holding down. But as long as I held onto that handle, I had to walk alongside of it because it was pulling itself. But as soon as I let go of that, it would stop. And there was, I thought then that it was a kind of an example of the synergistic way that we cooperate with the gifts of God. Only it's an inadequate metaphor because we also are to develop the gifts that God gives us. I have always been impressed and struck by a prayer that's in the room right for the Eucharist. We thank you, Lord God, King of the universe, for this bread and this wine which you have created and human hands have prepared and shall be for us the body and blood of Christ. And it seems to me that that prayer embodies what Christian spirituality is all about. God doesn't really make bread and wine. As far as I know, there's no such thing as a bread tree or a bread plant. And there is no stream that bubbles with wine, despite a particular folk song that claims that in the Big Rock Candy Mountain there's a stream like that. But that was in the mind of somebody that had a desire for something that doesn't exist on this earth. So God makes raw products. He doesn't make finished products. He makes raw products. So he gives us wheat, and he gives us grapes. Human beings have to take grapes and wheat to make bread and wine. So we pray in this prayer, a prayer of blessing for something that God has given and human hands have prepared. And then there is a third act in this movement. The third movement in this prayer is that it will be blessed and given back to us as the body and blood of Christ. And there's something in this prayer that speaks to how God's gifts in us work. We bring our tithes and offerings to God's house, which is the fruit of our labor, the monetary symbol of what we have been able to earn with the sweat of our brow. And we bring it to God's house, and it is blessed. And he promises to us that he will bless it and return it to us. We have in the Eucharist, we receive the bread and the wine, which God has created, human hands have prepared, and we bless it to be the body and the blood of Christ back to us, to be spiritual blessing that nourishes us, body, mind, soul, and spirit. So when we think about the gifts that we've been given by God individually, let me help you think about your own gifts. First, the natural gifts, and I don't know that we can always separate very clearly between our natural and supernatural gifts, the charisms, as we say, but when you were born, there were certain things that you that came along with the package, your personality, the character, your genetic makeup, that you seem capable of doing things easier than other things. And so we see children right away, they seem kind of mechanically inclined, or they seem to have a way with words, or they seem to have a beautiful voice, or there's something that we begin to notice right away. Children have a kind of a knack. And then in school, there's subjects they like and subjects they don't like, and some are difficult for them, some are easier for them, and we watch them then develop, and they get into college years and so forth. They develop careers that are connected to their natural gifts. And when we have a career that a good number of our natural gifts kind of come together, there usually is a joy in the vocation that we have found. It seems like that things have come together in such a way that what we do for a living is connected with what gives us life. And when we can achieve that, then we have vocations that we really feel blessed in and not trapped in. But we also believe that when the believer is given the Holy Spirit, that there are certain gifts that begin to develop in them, like in our children. Sometimes, most of the times probably, these gifts are connected to the natural gifts that we have already seen in their lives. And now they're anointed in a special way by the presence of God to bring life and joy to the people of God and profit to the body of Christ in the world. And then we sometimes see something else. Someone begins to have dreams that they didn't have before. Someone seems to have a desire to pray for the sick that wasn't really a part of their life before. And there seems to be help given, strength given to those that are ill. And these are what St. Paul writes about in 1 Corinthians 12 13 and 14, the supernatural giftings, the charisms of the Holy Spirit that every single person in the body of Christ have. Everybody. Even in those communities that believe that the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit ceased, I see evidences of that all the time. They just lack a vocabulary and a good theology to explain what God's ongoing work in the church. The Holy Spirit didn't write a book and then decide to be a retired author. He continues to work in his church. He's work here today. And we give him what we have. He gives us what he wants us to have, and we develop. And as we continue, as we develop these gifts, first we receive them in gratitude. We're not like, Uncle Harry that puts it on the shelf and never uses it. That's a lack of gratitude toward God that gives gifts. We don't want to be like this wicked servant that buried his gift. So we ask the Lord, Lord, make me aware of the gifts that you've given me so that I, out of some kind of sense of false humility or whatever the reason, embarrassment, that I fail to exercise the particular gift that you've given me. Help me with that. And we develop. Let me conclude. We just had in our church, in Christ Church in Nashville, a wonderful thing happened. We have our church is about 40% immigrants, and several hundreds of people from our area that changed drastically in the last few years, and the Lord's been gracious to us to give us favor with our new neighbors, and they've come to know the Lord. We have a doctor from Tanzania who just, has a practice, and he works really hard. And he came to me sometime last year, and he said, Pastor, I need you to pray for me, because he said, I've come up against a wall. And I asked him what it was. And he said, I work with people who have Crohn's disease, and he said, they suffer so much, and I've been working overtime now for several years in the lab. So when I finish my practice in the day, I go to the lab, and I've been working, and I've made some discoveries about Crohn's disease. And he said, it's pretty important discovery, and I can't get anybody to hear me. They don't believe that I've made this discovery. And because they didn't think he was a researcher or a scientist or whatever, he was just kind of being ignored. So we prayed, and just a few weeks later, my wife and I went to eat with he and his wife, and it had been on the books for a few weeks, so we didn't know that he was going to have the wonderful announcement to give us that he did. But as we were eating, he said, just 3 days ago, he said, I had a group of doctors from Vanderbilt and research guys that said that they would look over my data. And he said every single one of them signed off on it and said the data was good. And it has just been published today in a major medical journal. I asked him to send me the article, and I did try to read it. But, like Bugs Bunny said, the mind boggleth, and I understood it the best I could, because those are not my gifts and not my training. But here's the thing about it. I got in the car after he had told me this, and with his permission, I called a lady in our church that works with our prayer ministry that every Sunday goes forward to the prayer team and asks prayer for her children and grandchildren who suffer with Crohn's disease. And I said, Billy, I want to tell you something. Every Sunday you go forward and ask for prayer that God will bring healing and health to your children and grandchildren who suffer. And three pews away from you is a doctor that slips out before the end of the service because he has to go work. And you don't know him. I'm going to see that you get introduced. And every Sunday he's been going forward and asking the Lord to give him an understanding to bring healing and health to the world in this very important project that he's been involved with. And it's just given me a lot of joy to watch. Here was a man who had natural talents, evidently ended up, being trained in a particular field and so forth, but somewhere along the line, he asked the Lord to anoint his natural gifts, talents, and training, and he began to intercede with God and with the people of God. I need help, supernatural anointing for the gifts that I have. And as a result, he has made this major discovery. My prayer today is, whatever your gifting and training and work is, you would be able to give that up to the Lord, just as we will soon lift up the bread and the wine. And we, Lord, this is common bread and wine, but when you touch it, something's going to happen to it and to us as we receive it that's going to be life-giving to us. In the same way, these gifts that you have given, and to the best of our ability we have received and developed, we lift them up to you as an offering. Will you set your Holy Spirit upon them that they might be life and blessing as we give them back to you and to the people of God. Amen.